You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Church camp for many years, 3 decades about, I went to a national men's retreat in Oklahoma. I continued that for a decade or so after I came here. And finally, it just got to be too much for me to keep it up. I haven't been now in some time. But all the years of my boys growing up, I went to the Kiamichi Clinic in southeastern Oklahoma the first week of May. And I hauled the boys with me from when they were fairly small. And sometimes took a van load of their friends along with us to go to this big clinic where we would hear preaching all day long and sit around the campfire and sing at night and just have ourselves a big old time. But it got to be the point where Andrew was in high school and he and some of his buddies wanted to go, but they wanted to also to go to their prom. And what would happen is we couldn't leave till after church on Sunday morning. So Sunday afternoon after lunch, we would all of us hop in the van and drive 21 hours from northeast Ohio to southeast Oklahoma. And then we would spend the next few days listening to preaching and special music groups all day and sitting around the campfire late into the night, hardly sleeping at all. And after a few days of hardly sleeping at all, Wednesday afternoon, we would climb back into the van and drive 21 hours from southeast Oklahoma to northeast Ohio. And when we got back, I was tired. And the boys were okay because they slept 21 hours in the van. It would have been bad if I had slept because I was driving. So I had to stay awake, drive that 21 hours, and I was already tired, got everybody dropped off, got back to the house at about 7 o'clock in the morning, fell down into the bed, and just sank down into a state of sleep. And it seemed to me that I had just closed my eyes when somebody was shaking me. And I stirred into wakefulness, and it was Andrew shaking me. And I looked up at him and said, "What?" And he said, "It's 10 o'clock. I didn't think you'd want to sleep all day." And in my kind, maternal fashion, I said, "Get out of here." And went back to sleep. Woke up in time to get all the prom transportation taken care of. Tired. In this context, perhaps let's pretend that it's this way. It's Christmas Eve, and soon it will be. And it's like the biggest holiday of the year, the busiest holiday of the year, the most extended period of preparations, the longest day of celebrating. It's Christmas Eve, and there have been things to get done, shopping for gifts and food items and all the preparations you could make in advance for a big meal, and decorating and wrapping and arranging and secret Santas and Christmas parties. And of course, you came to the Christmas Eve service here at the church, and now it's getting on too late, and you know you're going to be till midnight assembling that bicycle, but you're going to get it put together, and you're going to be midnight getting to bed, and at 4 o'clock, the kids are going to be awake dancing around your bed, yelling, it's Christmas, can we get up yet? And you're not going to get to sleep, man. You're going to get up, and you're going to spend a long day celebrating. It will be good, but it will be a long day. Say you still got your kids at home. You're going to have your big family Christmas. You're going to have to visit both sets of grandparents in today. Maybe, I don't know, something else in there, too. You know, Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve. And it's about bedtime, and you're tired, and you know the night's going to be short, and the next day is going to be long, and you're going to be really tired, and then it's midnight, and your phone rings. And you foolishly answer, and it's me. And I say, "I really need you to come out and sit and pray with me for a couple of hours." You say, some of you are saying you'd come. Some of you are saying you're going to examine my pain packet more closely. Maybe most of you would come. But wouldn't there be a minute when you thought, "Oh, man, I'm so tired. This can't wait." That's kind of the way you need to see this. It was, even of the Passover was the biggest holiday of the year. There had been many preparations, and there would be much to follow. And it had been several long days, and it was late. And on top of that, Jesus had been continually telling them, this trip, this holiday, this time in Jerusalem, I will be killed. And they have tried to help. Well, let's just not go. And he said, no, we're going. And they had come, but they were perplexed and confused and hadn't processed all that very well. And now it's bedtime with the big day coming. And Jesus says, tell you what, let's stay up here at midnight. And that was late. Even my kids are old and burned down. There were no cat people. dogs. I always remember the story about a guy who had dogs that he fought. And I know that that's a rule, the whole dog fighting thing is a rule, and I'm not trying to make a comment in any way otherwise. It was just an old story I was told about a guy who fought dogs, and he had a stable with dogs, and he fought them, and people would bet on his dogs, and he would cover the bets, and he would always come out ahead, just as though he knew his dog was going to win. Every single time, and people accused him, "You're somehow giving these dogs signals." And he said, "You blindfold me, stop up my ears and gag me, and I'll stand behind a tree and we'll have the fight." And he would still come out ahead to prove that he wasn't cheating. And he did this for years. And on his deathbed, somebody asked him, said, tell me, how did you always know which dog would win?" And he laughed and said, "The one I fed yesterday would win." Comes to the moment. The battle between your willing spirit and your weak flesh. It may be just this simple. Which one is better fed? You know, not too long ago, in a sermon about extravagance, I let you know that there are sets of bed sheets out there that cost like $3,000. Just for sure, I do not own a $3,000 set of bed sheets, in case anybody worries about that. But Oprah Winfrey does. I happen to know that Oprah sleeps on $3,000 sheets. Now, I'm not really saying that as a complaint. I guess it's okay. I remember once an interview that I was kind of impressed. Somebody asked Oprah, said, "Don't you feel guilty having so much when there are so many people who are destitute?" She said, "No. My being poor wouldn't help them at all. My being rich does." And she spread some of that wealth around. And that's good. And I don't care if she wants $3,000 sheets, she can buy it. But generally, what I'm talking about is pampering the flesh. Guys, all right, guys, here's a simple question. How many of you shave cream? I'm not going to get the ladies in on this one. How many of you guys have shaved dry at least once in your life? Didn't kill you, did it? You can do that. You can just take that razor and start done. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. But you can get it done. You can go the rest of your life and never buy shaving cream of any sort at all, and you'd be all right. Yeah. But we buy shaving cream because we don't like to outrage the flesh. We like to pamper the flesh. Better than shaving cream at home is to go to the barbershop and have somebody put hot shaving cream all over your face, and then after they've shaved you, to give you a good wipe off with a hot, wet towel. Great experience. We like to pamper the flesh. People take spa days. I've never had a spa day. I would probably buy $3,000 sheets before I took a spa day. But people who like spa days, that's okay too. I get it. We pamper the flesh, and I have no objection, really. Paul does speak of disciplining the flesh, beating the flesh into submission so that it does not pull the spirit down. But even at that, Paul was not for the people who said, "Don't touch, don't taste, don't enjoy, never have any fun." That wasn't what Paul meant in his talk about the flesh. And at the end of the day, I have no objection if any of us wants to pamper the flesh a little, and God did mean for us to enjoy this world that He made just for us. And He'd like us to enjoy it. And nobody can look at me and conclude that I'm starving my flesh. I feed it well enough. Okay, fine. How are you feeding your spirit? Well, all of you who are hearing me ask the question are here today, and that counts. And I hope that this is a nourishing moment for us spiritually. But let me tell you, it can't be the only moment. Are you in the Word of God daily? How deep is your prayer life? When you see the beauty of the fall season, do you allow yourself to be guided into admiration of our great and glorious creative God and all the wonderful things that He has done? Do you comb each day for opportunities to glorify Jesus Christ? How are you feeding your spirit? Because when the moment arises, and it will arise, when your willing spirit runs smack dab into your tired, weak flesh, which will win, and it may be just as simple as, which is better fed? To which do you cater? Because as we have set it up, so shall it transpire. Feed willing spirit. Care for your flesh too, because God loves both. Keep that spirit strong, so that in the moment of the weakness of the flesh, it will triumph. Want to talk about weakness in the flesh? How many of you have watched friends and parents and grandparents descend into weaker and weaker and weaker flesh and finally perish? Well, you only fed your spirit for that moment. Because the ultimate weakness of your flesh is coming. And your spirit will need to be strong. Both can be placed into the hands of Jesus Christ. Your flesh and all the here and now concerns for security that we have, they can be put into His hands because He knows you as and loves you as a physical person. Your spirit and the eternal ultimate reward that have been promised, that can be put into His hands because He loves you as a spiritual person. And He will make both strong in the appropriate ways, and both willing in the appropriate ways, so that in the crucial moment, in the one opportunity to do good, we will not fail. Put your life, body and soul, in the hands of Jesus Christ.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.